You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
This is the Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Luis J. Gomez.
What's going on, kids? Real Ass Podcast, another edition, back after a little break for the holiday. An unplanned break. We didn't plan it last week, but just some shit happened, so we couldn't get into the studio, and I said, fuck it. Let's take a week off. Let's relax. It's a new year. It's a new time. 2015. First show of the year. Luis J. Gomez, your host, coming at you. Chris Scopo in studio. Zach Amico, yeah. That fat fucking piece of garbage. I don't even know what happened.
I think he's getting his Prince Albert changed.
Where is he? Where did he go, dude?
I don't even know. No.
I don't know where he went, but he last night he tells me that he's leaving at 9 o'clock in the morning. He can't make today's show.
Did he say how long he's gone for?
He's gone for the weekend. Look, I'm just saying it's fine, but you should let me know, Zach. Maybe I would have planned around you leaving. Maybe we would have done a podcast yesterday instead to have you here because we enjoy your...
We both know you wouldn't have.
No, I would have, though.
Really?
That's the truth. I said this a while ago when I brought both of you guys on the show. I said what we're doing for the first 50 episodes or so is shaping the voice of this show. It takes 50 episodes to even make a good podcast. I've been doing podcasting long enough to even know if this is a worthwhile endeavor. It's going to take 50 episodes. So episode 51, I'm going to walk in. I'm just going to smack John Fatigate in the face, and I'm going to walk out. I'm done. It's over. That's it. It's going to be like cereal.
We
got a great sub. Robbie Bernstein, my good friend. Rob, what's up, buddy?
Thank you. Be in studio.
Robbie Bernstein, not a very good podcaster.
Horrible.
He's mediocre comic.
Barely a comedian. Yeah. But there's something very funny about this kid. I saw something in Robbie Bernstein a long time ago that nobody else saw, just like I saw in Zach. And I don't think I'm wrong. I have a very high quality...
So far, your two guys are not the best. You picked that so far.
Well, you
and, I mean, you didn't include me, so I'm happy with that.
You and Zach are not, look, you're not the dream team, but I'm saying you guys have a lot of potential as sidekicks and as hosts, okay? But beyond that, beyond having Robbie Bernstein in studio today, which I'm very happy to have him here, we have a very special guest in studio. I've been trying to get this guy on the show for probably since the beginning of the show, maybe since episode 2 or 3. This guy... Hilarious comic, but also a former New York City police detective, which I thought was a very interesting thing for the Real Ass Podcast. Very good friend of mine, Mark DeMayo. How you doing, buddy?
What's up? What's up, Louie? Thanks for having me, Scopo. Bernstein, I see what you're saying about Bernstein. I feel the same exact way.
Right?
There's something in there.
There's just something
about him. You know what it is?
He's that untapped potential.
He doesn't really talk too much, but there's just something about him.
He's a creep. Bernstein's a fucking creep, but I love
it. One of us is going to blow up, and he's going to be like our Jonah Hill. And then all of a sudden, he's going to be like more talented than anybody else.
I just got to get a little fatter.
Well, I was saying this to Bernstein yesterday. You know what it is? Like, when you look at a comic... You almost have to look at, and this is what the industry looks at. It's like, what's the story they can build behind you? Like, what's the TV show that you can build behind that? And Rob Bernstein has something about him. I can see Rob Bernstein being the senior in college, but he's never actually gone to any classes. He's been taking 20 grand a semester from his parents
Absolutely.
And putting it into a dummy bank account.
I see it.
He hasn't been going to school. He's been living in an apartment.
Setting up a miniature hedge fund.
Yeah, and then, but then he's also got like 30 or 40 alternative identities, and he goes to all these different psychiatrists and gets pills and sells them to kids on this college campus, and he's this little weirdo fucking...
Unsuspecting.
Yeah, like mastermind.
A snake in the grass. I saw him talking... This girl comes up to me at LOL one night after the show. And she's like, where's the comic that I was talking to earlier? Like, he's talking to this really hot Brazilian girl. And I'm like, I'm over there assuming, like, he's dropping the ball.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you look
there's no way
he's going to close his deal. And then she's actually looking for him, and he's split.
Yeah.
He split.
There are a couple of times I've been hanging out with LOL by Bernstein. And, like, I can't find him for, like, 5 minutes. And I go, where the fuck were you? Oh, I was making out the chick in the hallway. I was like, that quick?
Robert Bernstein brings the girls to the stairwell very quickly.
Yeah.
I probably have the LOL record for sucking on black kitties in the stairwell.
You know what? Sure. No one's That's how old I am right now. That I used to have all these spots picked out.
Yeah.
Like as soon as I go in the bathroom, I used to look around and be like, "Can we fucking hear you? Can we curse on this?"
Yeah, it's a podcast.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's what I do with drugs. I just look in the bathroom.
So, Mike, you start looking around. Where can I bang it, just in case I have to? But I'm so old right now, I wouldn't even think about it.
Well, like, do you think it's an age thing, or do you think it's where we're at in our career thing? Because, like, when I was, it was both. I was younger. And
well, how old are you?
26.
Yeah, yeah.
I was younger, and I was a younger comic. I was probably, I guess, maybe Robbie Bernstein's age, a couple years younger when I first started doing comedy. And it was at Stand Up New York. And we, this place, I mean, we used to fucking, I mean, my jizz is probably on every surface in this building.
Yeah, I wiped off my seat just in case before I sat down.
Yeah, I mean, like, we used to fuck so much in this place, and they used to, like, facilitate it. Like, Wayne Raiden, when he used to manage this place, that was his thing, was he wanted to create this kind
A
of, like...
zone?
This almost like this debaucherous, fun,
a place for women to feel uncomfortable,
rock and roll 80s comedy vibe. You know what I'm saying? Like that was the thing. Like you could, if you wanted to do blow and Stand Up New York in the offices, you could just go and do blow, and the manager of the place would provide the blow. You know what I'm saying? You could smoke blunts back, you know, in the now it's all cleaned up. But I always wonder, is it because I'm an older guy? I'm 32. I got a kid now. Or is it because I kind of care about my career? Like I could never, even if I was single and I didn't have a kid, like I could never walk out of the bathroom.
I think it's because you'd feel really bad spending your money now on cocaine.
Well, no, for even for
because I feel really guilty right now. Like every time I spend a dollar on cocaine, I'm always thinking this could go towards my child's college fund.
Forget the drugs. I try to really have an out of sight, out of mind attitude toward what I spend on drugs and what I'm taking away from my son's
Lewis spends enough on drugs in a week.
But
it
I'm
really
just,
makes you feel bad, though, right? Because you
really
do. It can keep you up at night. That's why you got to keep getting stoned.
But with the women, could you right now? I mean, I guess I gotta ask these guys because you're married and shit. But could you right now hook up with a chick in the bathroom at Stand Up New York, walk out, have the staff see you, and not feel like a piece of garbage?
No,
back in the day, it didn't matter. I would literally go to everybody, and be like, "Yo, smell my fingers. This bitch smells like bologna." Look, now it would be. I'd be really truly embarrassed if people saw me walking out of the bathroom.
I would be embarrassed.
Yeah.
I'd rather take a chick to a place than
yeah,
because
I like
just
to lie down when I have sex. Now you know, when you get older, you want to lie down.
Right.
And I'm not. I don't want to be standing up. In the, I don't even know if I can come anymore standing up.
I still. Oh, I know. Like I fucked standing up in the shower. I'm like, this is pointless. I'm not getting off.
I have to be really comfortable to come right now.
I gotta say, if the chick wasn't hideous, I wouldn't be embarrassed to do it. But I think it's an age thing, because I think if I were to do it, it's still kind of funny. Like, I'm a goofball.
Yeah, you're young.
I think if I was a little older, it'd
you
be
also
weird.
Come off younger. You, Robbie, what you can do, if you, I mean, you need to get some plugs or something. Your hair
yeah,
sucks.
It's horrible.
But if you fixed your hair, dude, you could play a college.
Dude,
kid.
Don't fix
him,
anything, man. The girls like you. Because
told
you
this kid to get Rogaine's. $26, try it out.
Joe Rogan.
And he
doesn't
won't
matter.
Fucking do it.
Look at him. They're willing to fuck him now.
Yeah, but
he
wears anyway.
A fucking douchey.
He's got a certain charm. He's got a certain charm.
Mark, you're not. Understand,
I'm
though,
on DeMeo's team here.
This is a fucking business, though. We're in the business of
Listen,
fucking.
There's nothing that works for the hair. You could take Propecia if you want. Try to save what you got. But
no, he's got. Listen to me, dude. Look at this kid. Okay,
he's got 6 months of hair.
Robbie
left.
Bernstein. First of all, the fans can't even go look him up because Robbie Bernstein doesn't have any social media presence at all. He doesn't even have a Facebook.
I'm the ghost of comedy.
So here's the thing, dude. If Robbie Bernstein loses that hair, the boyish thing about him goes right out the fucking window, and he very quickly becomes a sad old Jew. Okay, and that is I'm telling you right now, it's a very real thing, Robbie. You have 10 years still of being Robbie Bernstein.
All right, so let's chip
Rob
in and
Bernstein,
get
10 years of being Rob
Bernstein.
Dude,
Rob Bernstein. One
me?
Day you're gonna go into a cocoon and you're gonna come out with a bald head and a big gut, and you're gonna be now Rob. Rob Bernstein. You're gonna smoke a cigar. You are Robbie Bernstein right now. You are a sideways hat, college kitty. Fucking that! If I could be a college, I'd be on Guy Code right now. I would go
you,
out.
You,
I would.
You were.
I was on Guy Code for
one episode. Yeah.
Season 1, episode 8. Guys, go check it out. I killed
just
it.
Just let everyone know that.
But if I was, but dude, they met me. They were like, "Oh yeah, this isn't a fucking kid.
Yeah,
this isn't
off.
A guy that's speaking to the generation of our youth. This is a guy that's scaring the youth." That's the truth, DeMeo. You couldn't be on fucking Guy Code. You're a man. You know what I'm saying? The
I wouldn't second, want to be on Guy Code.
Yeah, I would. I would want to be no, on regular TV with somebody paying me every week. I don't give a shit really what it is. Welcome to stand-up comedy,
right,
motherfuckers. We are sellouts.
Okay, maybe you're right.
That's
I would do
truth.
It.
DeMeo would be on Guy Code. DeMeo's kids would be like, "Why was your father on Guy Code?" Right?
I know. I know. It's so sad.
Robbie, though, is an interesting kid because when I met Robbie, he had absolutely no game. Mark DeMayo, a real player in his game. When you were 26 years old,
dude, have you I'm seen sure you some were photos slaying puss. Of fucking DeMayo back in the day, and he posts just shredded,
yeah, dude.
Great hair.
Yeah, dude. That's it's a different game, and me and Mark were cut from a similar
We have
cloth.
Nothing. We are nothing alike.
No.
I'm just kidding.
I'm saying in the sense that
we are both half Spanish and half white, right? Or you're half black?
I'm half Puerto Rican, half Italian.
Okay, so, but I played up my Spanish part to the hilt growing up, and you went the opposite.
Yeah.
You played up your white part.
Look at it now.
I had
you guys are
blonde hair and a ponytail. I used to break dance.
I didn't even know DeMayo was Spanish until like 6 months ago.
Now I'm Italian. Just kidding.
The man became Italian 15 years ago.
I became Italian when I
Dude,
became
Dude, I told you he was Italian. He's like, yeah, I'm half Spanish. I'm like, no, you're not. He's like, no, I'm half Spanish.
Yeah, I'm half Dominican. But you see, we went the opposite. Like, when we were in high school,
Otto from Otto and George had a conversation with him 15 years ago. He was like, listen, kid, you're not going to be fucking Spanish no more. You're going to be Italian.
No, it was because of the cop thing. I wanted to create another identity for... I joined SAG, so I had the opportunity. Mark is my middle name. And Mayo is my first name. I just put DE in front of it. I wasn't trying
to be Mayo Mark?
No, my name is Mayoanek Sanchez, but my middle name is Mark, my baptismal name.
Dude, I'm learning so much about Mark DeMayo within the first
so
six, last
Mayo,
6 months.
So Mayo, that's what I cut it down to, Mayo.
Mayo Mark would be the
Mayo
worst
Sanchez,
rapper ever.
Mayo Sanchez. That's my real name. On my driver's, Mayo Sanchez. But when I joined SAG, I just put a DE in front of it. I put my middle name first, Mark, and I put a DE in front. It sounds cool, Mark DeMayo.
That's
you can see
that's
it in
how
lights.
He talks. He goes, DeMayo. What's your name? Mark.
When you were a cop, what was your? Did they call you Mark or Mayo?
No, Mayo.
Mayo.
Mayo Sanchez.
Mayo.
Yeah.
Mayo.
Detective Sanchez.
I think it's fucking crazy. You used to be cop. Here's the thing about Mark. Little known fact: I waited for 3 years to smoke pot with Mark.
Was it 3 years?
Yeah, something like that. It was probably 2-3 years.
How long you been doing comedy?
10 years now.
Oh, okay, 10, and then we kind of sort of probably became friends
boys.
Like 7 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. So then it was a few years you were still working
yeah,
as
so
a cop.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. So yeah,
Mark was still a cop. Up until what, 2 years ago now?
I had a pact with a couple of people.
Yeah,
and you were one of them. You were one of the top people that I wanted to smoke pot with. Mm-hmm.
For a few years, he was like, dude, I'm counting down the days I can smoke pot in 20 years. He literally was like a thing. We'd talk about it like he'd fantasize for a few years.
Yeah.
It was a funny thing.
You say words like, I can't wait to party. I can't wait to party again. And I, you know, like, there's no party. It's just me in my car, like, smoking pot by myself, drinking. I never invite people to do. I'd have to have so much drugs to invite somebody to actually do some drugs with me. Like, pot's a little bit different. But even that, I don't really have that much money, like Lewis was talking about. You know, you feel bad. Like, I get like a $40 worth of pot. It lasts me like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Just doing hits off a one hitter. Yeah. I can't be like, yo,
hiding
man.
It from your wife.
Hey, you guys want to come and smoke a blunt with me? When am I going to get the money to get my next weed?
Dude, so it's like such a sad thing where you like, when you're a kid, you're like, oh, I'm smoking pot. I'm partying. I'm having fun. Like when you're smoking pot out back, hiding it from your chick and hiding your weed in your fucking mailbox so she doesn't find it, that becomes a new low. And that's where I was at for a little while in my life. Does your wife know you smoke again?
Yeah, she kind of sort of knows. She always
she doesn't know how much.
No, it's not, like I said, it's not that much. About 40 will last me like 2 weeks. It's basically off of one hitter. But you know, you do it like I smoke whenever I have an opportunity. You know what I'm saying?
You smoke every day?
I'm like that, yeah.
I want to smoke right now. Okay. We're talking about it.
Right now. We should be smoking right now.
I'm going to ask Fatigate when he comes back if we can smoke one.
I thought this was what
it's
this
a real
was
ass
about.
Podcast. It's a real ass podcast.
I did Ari's podcast, and we were hitting off the tornado. Is that what you call it? The tornado?
Volcano.
Oh, that thing's amazing. Where's your freaking volcano?
There's no volcano here.
We need some more.
Not paying me.
If we get some more subscribers as Ari does, we'll get a volcano.
So, dude, what was... When you retired, what was it you were looking most forward to? Was it the weed smoking, the party, and the drugs? Not having to go to do a 9-to-5 every day? Not being in danger?
All of it, man. Everything that you just said.
Did you want it? You want to retire after 20 years? You're like, that's it. I'm fucking done.
Yeah, man. I wanted to do, you know, I wanted to pursue the stand-up full-time because 15 years, I was doing it with one with my good arm tied behind my back. There's only so much you can do when you have a full-time job. And I was out every night. I never missed a spot because of police work. And that's not because I was ducking police work. It just I got lucky. I worked with really good guys that if I had a good gig, I would say, listen, do me a favor. Can we switch tours or whatever? And they would always help me out because everybody always was very supportive of what I was doing.
That's great.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, so, but I wanted to do it full-time. I wanted to smoke pot again. I wanted to be a regular civilian, like just I wanted to get out of the loop. Because when you're a cop, the way you think and everything about you is completely different. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I just didn't want to think about it. Meanwhile, I think about more about freaking cop stuff now with all this bullshit that's going on
in
New York City than I used to back then.
You used to, I don't want to say hide it, but you didn't talk about it really at all. It was something. It was definitely like night and day, Batman Robin or a Batman Bruce Wayne type thing.
Because people assume right now, like, oh, everybody hates cops. Everybody hates cops because what's going on in the news between, you know, the protesters. But
I don't hate cops.
No, but everybody always hated cops. When I first came on the job, David Dinkins was the mayor. They hated you. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, but at least you knew it.
Yeah.
And Dinkins didn't want you to do anything. Right now, we're caught up in this dichotomy between de Blasio hating you mm-hmm. and the city hating you and still feeling like you have to do something. At some point, it's going to go back to the way it was when Dinkins was mayor, and it's going to be like, well, you know what? You're not going to back us? Fuck it. We won't do nothing. And then you'll see what happens.
Mark, I mean, look, I think everyone always kind of had. We came in to fuck the police by NWA. I think the idea of.
Which I requested, by the way.
You did request that. I think the idea of young people being against the cops, minorities being against the cops, poor people being against the cops, it's as old as fucking time. It's authority. You want it, you go against authority. We are in a time now where everyone has their nose in their cell phone. Everyone is on Facebook and Twitter constantly. Everybody has an opinion that they need to be heard. The water cooler conversation is no longer a water cooler conversation. You know, 10, 15 years ago, you come to work, you used to talk shit, whatever, politics, you have your buddy, maybe you fucking, you know, you say the N-word behind people's back, nobody knows what's being said. But that was it. It would never go beyond that. But now everybody has an opinion. Everybody
but
goes
nobody's
to
opinion changes. What happens is you get people, and I see them all the time, they're always talking about how I'm cutting off this person and that person off my social media because I don't like what they
You're
said or what they
Yamanika.
Posted.
Just but, say, well, just
no,
say
no, 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 but
name.
I never got rid of Yamanika, and I refuse to get it because I'm not. I want to know what my enemy's thinking. I want to see what else is out there. My opinion may change. That would differs me than most of these people that I see. I mean, but when you take a step back, like, look, last week we had two stories. And there were the similar stories. De Blasio has orchestrated a meeting between the police union heads, mm-hmm. Patrick Lynch, which being the head of the Patrolman's Benevolent Association, the most powerful one. And while he's doing that, at the same time, he's also calling his constituents, having his aides call the constituents, and having them publicly back him and bash Lynch. That's one of the stories. 5 minutes later, I'm still on social media, I read another story about Patrick Lynch and all the debauchery that he's up to. So basically what we have is this whole thing of Black Lives Matter has turned into a he said, she said, two people in a schoolyard arguing, and how many friends do I have backing me? The whole thing has gotten lost. The idea with Black Lives Matter was there's obviously a problem somewhere in this country.
Yeah.
If so many people are protesting. By the way, people of color feel like they're being policed. And at some point, it's got to change. In New York City with the Black Lives Matter, this whole thing that's happening now is just because they don't have a leader. As we say whatever you want about Al Sharpton. That guy freaking needs a piece of shit, but he stood in the front. He stood in the front, and he had
Kanye.
A list of demands.
What about Kanye, Beyonce?
No, listen. No. This guy, these people right now that are out there protesting, once you get everybody's attention with the protest, what you got to do is there has to be a leader or a panel of leaders that can say, listen, we want a meeting with the mayor and the police commissioner. This is our list of demands. We want a federal prosecutor.
Caesar from Planet of the Apes.
To look into Eric Garner again. We want federal prosecutors for indictments. Come up with the demands and let's see if we can do something. No, they want to keep. Now what happens is you get the people from Occupy Wall Street, the leftovers, the stragglers that are starting the fights with the cops on purpose. Now the whole message gets distracted. It's all about de Blasio and Lynch. And what happened to the whole movement? They need a leader. They don't have a leader.
Let me ask you, Mark, because I mean there is a lot of hostility toward the cops. And, I mean, obviously, dude, you have a lot of friends. I'd say most comics are lean toward the left. Most comics are I shouldn't say most.
I'm one of them who goes, I'm for the cops.
It's not. I'm gonna say it's not for the cops or against the cops. I would just say that most comics are kind of left leaning. And
you know why? Because most comics, nobody. Listen,
you're kind of stuck in the middle. Because
I'm not in the middle.
You see,
I'm in the right. I'm not for anybody getting hurt or police brutality. But I'm not for none of this bullshit that's going on right now. I mean, if you think that police are just going to go away, let me ask you a question. Does anybody here know that the city's basically sold the projects?
What do you mean?
Sold the housing. In 30 years, none of these people that live in the projects will be there anymore. For 30 years, they have to keep it running, accept the government money. But slowly but surely, they're going to phase them out. All these people that are protesting, what are they protesting for, they're not even going to be able to live in New York City. So maybe this whole thing is a distraction while all this is going on behind their backs.
What's being sold? Who's buying them up?
The housing projects to a private owner. Whose obligation is to keep accepting government money to house these people for 30 years. But in the meantime, there's laws in effect already. If you do this, if you have a warrant for your arrest, it can kick you out. But don't you think if a private owner comes in there, they're going to have even stringer rules? If you harbor a criminal, if you're behind in your rent, whatever it is, if you smoke in your apartment, you're evicted. And then who moves in there? People that they want.
Yeah. I didn't even know about that.
All this is going on behind their back, and we're fighting over bullshit. Nobody's even going to be able to afford to live here anymore.
Well, I was producing this web series for Dave Smith, and I still am, but it's kind of on hiatus right now. But I sent you because I wanted to get your opinion on it because Dave had some pretty strong.
Yeah, I know. You know what it was.
Dave had some very, very strong viewpoints on police brutality and kind of America becoming a police state, the war on drugs, kind of creating this. Almost like an industry of putting minorities in jail. You know, you didn't actually respond, but somebody else told me you were just kind of like, ah, fuck that. That video kind of stunk.
No, wait. You're putting words into my mouth from somebody else?
Yeah, somebody else told me you didn't like it. Somebody else told me, somebody told you were pissed, actually.
You know what? Maybe that's true. I was. But that's good for a debate or for a show. That's not the reason why.
But I just wanted to ask you
I
this.
Just think, to me, if I'm going to argue with somebody over this kind of stuff, I'd rather argue with somebody who has a vested interest. And by that I mean, and I know it'll probably piss them off, but, you know, if you got a child, if you own property, if you own a business, then we could sit right here where you just can't pick up and leave. Then I'm all right, let's go. Because you have a vested – to me, like, your opinion is greatly different from where it was before your son was born.
Right.
Why? Because now when you walk down the steps in Harlem or wherever you live and somebody's smoking pot on your steps and you got your son with you, it's annoying.
Right.
Where it wasn't before.
Well, and it also becomes a place from a very tangible reasoning, very tangible perspective. And that's my problem with people who just pick an initiative and pick a side and go, hey, I'm on that side and that's why. If it's not affecting your life in any way, you know, if it's something that's genuinely not fucking, coming into your world, I have a hard time holding your opinion to have any more, to have as much value as the person where it does affect their life. And that's why it's kind of like, I watch white people do this all the time when white people will protest for black people. It's almost offensive. As a minority, it's offensive. I was like, I don't really need white people to get my fucking back.
They don't know. They don't know the cause. Like, they don't know with the black and white, the black thing right now, they're not being targeted by the cops, the white kids.
You know what my problem is, too?
The black people are, and they're protesting for them. It's like, you don't know what they're going through, so why are you protesting?
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, to me, if I sit down and talk to somebody long enough, I listen. So I'm gonna be sympathetic to what you believe, and I'm going to pick and choose spots where I might actually agree with you. So I'm open to that. But with Dave, in a way, sometimes his opinions are so freaking strong, I don't even know if we could find, like, to me, it's so irrational, some of the stuff that he's saying, I don't know if we could find a mutual point. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
I like to think of myself as, being sort of almost in the middle. I'm way blue, but I definitely understand that if enough people say this is a problem, there must be a problem.
Right.
So we should address it, and we should make it better. So to just be like one, I don't know, Travis Bignon is another one. I don't think we could ever have like a conversation because about this kind of stuff because I don't see, it's almost like talking to somebody who's blind.
Well, I agree with you on that. Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
So you're a pot smoker right now, and you enjoy pot.
Yeah. No, literally right now.
Literally, you're sitting here. So there was a time, though, 10 years ago, you worked
never,
for an institution.
I always loved pot.
There was a time, though.
I didn't smoke it, but I never right. locked nobody up for pot.
But you worked for an institution that did.
Yeah.
So
what does that mean?
Yeah, what are you trying to say?
That's a horrible way to ask
yeah.
a question.
Yeah, jeez.
Mark, can I ask you a question?
I'm socially right. liberal. I believe yeah. in legalize. Mm-hmm. I think they should legalize everything. If you're a grown right. person, an adult, mm-hmm. you should be able to do whatever you want with your right. money, just as long as you don't harm other people. So prostitution, gambling, mm-hmm. give people what they want. I believe in freedom of choice. I believe in same-sex marriage. So socially, I'm liberal. But for some reason, when it comes to things like that, like law enforcement and stuff like that, I'm a right. I'm on the right.
Well, you've also seen the other side of it. So it's a little different. And this is why, like,
I've seen the horrors. And that's what you're talking about when white people jump into the argument. And it's like,
they don't see.
I used to work in Harlem, okay? I was in the squad.
My uncle talks about this all the time. He's like, he was a Harlem in the 70s when it was the worst place in the world. He's seen the fucking horrible. So he's like you. He's like, you know, I agree.
Yeah, I'm
liberal with shit, but then I'm in law enforcement, I'm right wing.
There's five different colleges in the precinct that I work in. And literally every day there'd be a white kid sitting there that got their face smashed in the knockout game. And I, like, when was in the squad? 2002. Yeah. His face smashed in. Six kids beating on him, beating the fuck yeah. out of him. They shook.
Well, it became a headline. It just became
EMS,
a headline to be a sexy.
EMS is putting these kids together, you know, trying to fix their face while I'm trying to interview them, while I'm rushing to the hospital. And then while I'm talking to the kid, he's like, well, what's going to happen if you catch this guy? I'm like, I'm going to arrest him. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want him arrested. Why? So he can go out and do this to other people? See, that's the type of, they're just wired
this
different. You
kid,
can't
you know,
fix that person. How can
city?
You fix that person?
What Mark is saying
you don't
right
have
now,
the balls to take
what,
a stand.
What Mark is saying right now, you're just kind of saying that the person who gets punched in the face has the attitude of like, oh, this guy's from the inner city, I feel bad for him.
Exactly.
Like the circumstances. This is my girlfriend's attitude in life. This is what she drives me out of my mind with this shit. I'm like, she just has like, it's really a bleeding heart liberal attitude of like, oh, well, they've had all.
What you're doing is you're passing the buck so they can go do it to somebody else.
It's minorities and women. Yeah, they go, they can do whatever they want because they've had a harder hand dealt to them in life. Look, I've had a very hard hand dealt to me in life. I do not have carte blanche to go out and do whatever the fuck I want, okay? I don't get to live my life in a double standard. I don't get to break shit and steal shit and hurt people because my mother was a heroin addict and my dad was murdered when I was a child. That is a harder life than half of the people in the project that I just moved across away from. But in that project, I guarantee you, I had a harder life than half the fucking kids that grew up in that project, okay? But I don't get to go and be a criminal or act, I don't have the right to do whatever the fuck I want to do because of that. And I think that's the gut reaction of the left, the gut reaction of feminism is like, oh, well, you know, all the cards need to be redistributed so everyone has the same hand. And because these people didn't have the best hand, they get some other cards dealt to them that are a little bit better now. And I don't think that's right at all. You know, Robbie Bernstein, the worst hair.
That was great.
That was a speech.
I lost my train of thought.
I had a case once where it was a husband and wife, white husband, black wife. They get robbed. This kid was doing the robberies all over the neighborhood. He'd take the elevator with you, and then once he got off the elevator with you, and then he'd walk to one direction, then you'd walk to your apartment, then he'd come up right behind you, pull a gun out, or you open the door, mm-hmm. and then once he gets inside, he gets your credit cards and your PIN number. So these people rode up the same elevator with this guy, looked him right in the face, saw him the whole time that he was in his apartment with them, waiting for him to get the PIN numbers.
And they didn't want to offend him.
And he'd say, no. He'd say, give me the PIN numbers. If they're wrong, I'm coming back and killing you. So this is the whole time he's with them. It's 5-10 minutes he's with these people. I wound up catching the kid. It was a pattern robbery. That couple was in there, black wife. Kid was black. As soon as I open up the curtain during the lineup, mm-hmm. she picks him out right away. I'm talking about as soon as I open up the curtain, I said, do you look in there? Tell me if you recognize anybody. And if you do, just tell me what number. Number two, right away. Boom! That's him.
It was Monroe Martin.
Close the curtain. We get the husband in. We open the curtain. He's looking for like 5 minutes. I'm like, do you see anybody you recognize? Mm-hmm. I'm not 100% sure. Okay, now I got to close it because after he says those words, you can't. That's it. I take him outside. I says, really, you didn't see no one? No, no. It looked like number two, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Really? It looked like number two, you fuck? Like, thank God I had three other victims that all picked the guy out. So now it's like 3 out of 4. But, you knew, but you didn't want to, you didn't have the balls to freaking.
Do you think he was scared, though?
Absolutely. He's scared and you don't have the balls. He's, fuck, I don't want this guy to keep doing this. He might shoot somebody.
So the problem is that there's too much white love for black people?
I don't know what it is.
Dude,
had the answer for everything.
Dude, I'll tell you, dude.
I think in that situation, though, he was probably just more scared of getting killed.
He knew who it was. He couldn't do it. He didn't have the balls to put his foot down.
Yeah.
And say, nah, fuck this dude.
Let me ask you a question, because you mentioned somebody
five
Mark,
to 10 minutes and not be able to recognize him
a
week later.
You mentioned this guy going in and robbing people. How often, because I always wonder this, because in my mind, and I think this is an interesting thing, I've never been robbed, but I'm assuming Rob Bernstein's movement has said he's going to be robbed every day. Scope, have you ever been robbed before?
Yeah, once, but like little shit. If it was like 20 bucks, it wasn't bad.
Smith got robbed by gunpoint once. How often?
It wasn't gunpoint, though. I didn't get robbed by fucking gunpoint.
What would you, well, you're just a bitch then. If some dude just came up and said, give me your
money. Well, that just changes my whole opinion on Dave, by the way.
That he's been robbed?
Yeah, because if you still have those beliefs and you've been through something, a violent thing like that, then remember I said I'm going to add something to my list. You have a child, a vested interest. You have if you've been a victim of a violent crime and you still feel that way, then you should have every right to feel that way. So okay. I'm adding that to my list.
Okay, good. Well, no, look, he has been, and he actually brings that specifically up. When people talk about being a victim of a violent crime, he says, I haven't a victim. And the way the police treated him in that circumstance, like they accused him of trying to buy drugs. And they were like, oh, what were you doing in that neighborhood? And blah, blah, blah. And he just lived there. He's from Brooklyn. Uh-huh. So he has kind of had the tables turned on him. And he always brings it up as a point. But I always felt like when the guy pulls out a gun, I mean, how often does he want to pull the trigger? Because you arrest these guys.
Do you remember the case downtown where it was a group of white partiers? I think they were all white, and then they passed, and then the girl,
she's like, shoot us.
Yeah, he points a gun. He points a gun at her, the perp, and he goes, she goes, what are you gonna do? Shoot me? Boom! He shoots her, dead. And I ran into her fiance at the time because she was engaged. I ran into him in criminal court, and I it was like 3 or 4 days afterwards. He was going to court, whatever. For that incident, and I said, I gave him my condolences. But it was so weird to be standing next to somebody that just lost their fiance getting killed in the street. Like, I was just like, can you imagine how you felt? I felt so bad for this guy. I didn't even know what to say, but I had to tell him. I said, listen, I'm sorry about what happened. You know, but those are the type of incidents that, like, they're really, really violent. You know what I'm saying? People don't understand the type of violence that's out there. And if you don't have police department out there.
Mark. I'm saying, how often is the person, the perp, ready to pull that trigger?
I don't know. You got to ask them.
Seems like
a lot.
You've interviewed them, more. You've talked to these people, literally 1,000 times.
Sometimes
they
come out with an empty gun. Sometimes it's a toy gun. They're never going to shoot you. And sometimes you get people who want to get. See, if you're going to be a gangster, you got to kill somebody. People don't realize that. Like, so I got past the point of thinking, what was this guy's, what's going on through his head? Because sometimes you just talk to these kids, and their goal in life is to be a gangster. And if you want to be a gangster and you want to be in the street, you got to kill somebody. The credit, the street cred that you get after coming out, after doing 8 years for killing somebody is you're basically running shit. There's not that many people in the neighborhood who do that. So that's the mindset of a lot of these kids. I don't give a fuck.
So you're just like that's the, I always, cause I'm not like a tough guy, but I can handle my shit. But I always like go, you'll be on the subway, you'll be one other dude late at night, you make eye contact with this dude, you end up having that pissing contest where you're not gonna look away, he's not gonna look away.
Where were you guys pissing? I fuck with you. But are you doing it right there on the platform? Or are you pissing on the rails? What are you doing?
But it becomes like a thing where.
He's always pissing and checking out somebody's dick.
Should I just look away? You get what I'm saying? Should I just like
at a certain age? Yeah, yeah.
I'm starting to feel that way now. When I was younger, and I thank the Lord that I haven't been shot yet. I haven't been stabbed. My dad was murdered when he was 26 or 25 or something. You know what I'm saying? Somebody put a fucking knife into his stomach, dude. It's a fucking crazy thing. And I was like, now I have a kid, you start to think, you bring these things up and these other variables and these real life, and you start to have things and belongings and a chick that you care about. And you go like, holy shit, dude, there are people out there that are just looking to kill somebody today. And it's not even about anything else, dude. They're just staring you down because they want to be fucking hard.
You want to get a body. It doesn't make sense to us, but it's something, it's definitely a powerful feeling for them in the street.
What were you saying, man? Now that you're saying you'll back down now, I feel the same way, dude. I think I'm pretty tough. I can handle myself, but I'm not gonna stare at people on a fucking train just because they want to have a
money. My money's on Bernstein.
You know,
as a tiny Jew, you just
Bernstein is Robin
just
Williams.
Suck it up. That's it. Yeah. You just suck it up.
Bernstein is Robin Williams in that movie about the radio. What's that movie? From here to Vietnam. What was it? Good morning, Vietnam. That's you. He looks just like him, doesn't he?
With no personality.
Exactly. Minus 100% of the funny. And I had I was at Duane Reade at like 2 in the morning, and this big black dude just cut me in line. And I'm sitting there, I'm fuming, because like I want to say something. He literally just cut me.
But he didn't say anything, right?
Of course, he's a giant black guy. What the hell am I going to do?
Of course. Your last name is Bernstein.
I waited the extra minute. I sucked it up in my stomach of like, this stinks, and I went my own way.
Did you complain to management?
No.
When he left?
Did you write a report?
I just stole what I was going to take. No,
I'm kidding. Did you blog about it, Yelp about it?
Of course, that's what I did.
So let me ask you, because the Eric Garner thing just happened, and it's been such a
big... This is a real serious fucking podcast.
It is a little serious. I don't give a shit. This is some serious shit, dude. It's a real-ass podcast, you know? That's the idea of this show. I don't know how you felt about it, but I kind of stood with the cops specifically on the Eric Garner situation. You know, look, dude, I don't know, and I'd love to get your opinion on this. I'm not saying anybody deserved to die, okay? This guy wasn't a violent criminal. But I do think once you resist arrest and once the cops say, hey, dude, I got you, you are committing a violent crime when you don't put your hands behind your back. You're putting the cop's life in danger. You're putting your life in danger, innocent bystanders' lives in danger. Especially when you're in the hood, I think it becomes a very sensitive situation where you don't know what the fuck could happen. And there are so many situations where you do have that guy who is a hard motherfucker, who's ready to kill somebody. And that's why I think you have cops who work these specific areas that are so ready. Like, dude, Ferguson, Missouri, that's a fucking rough. Beatrice grew up right around, she was born like 10 minutes outside of Ferguson. That's a fucking rough area, dude. It is rough, okay? So it's a very tense thing to begin with, but this guy puts himself in this situation where he resists arrest, and it's an unfortunate thing that he ended up dying. But I don't put the cops at fault there, and everyone thinks I'm crazy for this.
You have an opinion. You deduced what you did. Was your opinion based off the footage that you saw?
Based off the footage I saw. I also watched a Gracie breakdown of the choke. It really wasn't a choke in reality. I mean, if you understand what a choke is, you understand when you actually take somebody's...
I don't think most people care whether it was a choke or not. I think the bottom line is the guy died as a result, and he was screaming out, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. And at the same time, you look at the level of the crime that it was, selling untaxed cigarettes, which is a federal crime. Why are NYPD, you know, stopping people for that? We basically get subsidies from the federal government to enforce that law.
Right.
So that's why they're enforcing it. It comes in the housing money. But... the video bothered me. The Eric Garner video bothered me. It just, you know, like this, I'm 6'4", I'm 250. You know, part of me is like looking at that situation and what I would have done. Monday morning quarterbacking, which is natural. These things that happen in the street, they happen in the moment. You're working with a bunch of people. A lot of, you know, you only have control of yourself. It's unfortunate that it happened. I don't think anybody went out that day. And I've heard people... They don't like when cops say that, but it's true. Nobody, I don't think they went after this guy because he was black. I don't think they went to kill him. As a result, though, maybe it needed further looking into. That's just my story, and I've been sticking to it.
I think
maybe it should have went to trial. So That basically, that's my opinion on that. And he mentioned Ferguson, Michael Brown. In that case, that was a robbery. They want to call it a stealing over there. Maybe that's their word for robbery. The liberals call it a shoplifting. In New York City, the law basically is if you take something by force, remove property without permission using force. So he stole it. In the beginning, it was a shoplifting when he took the cigars. And when the owner or whoever that was, that the employee for the store tried to stop Michael Brown on the way out and he pushed him into the wall, then it became a robbery. So the cop, no matter what anybody says, he was going after those two kids for the robbery. He heard the call came out. He was at some bullshit call. He probably got out of there as quick as he could because he wanted to get to the robbery. And when he was on his way to the robbery, he saw the two kids, made them, tell them to go over there. And then if you listen to both sides of the story, which I did, and I'm talking about the co-defendant, the kid who did the robbery with him, what he says as opposed to what the cop says, you got to kind of deduce what I did, which was there was a tug of war to hold on to this kid, Michael Brown, because he was trying to run away while he was still in the car. In the meantime, his gun came out, and there may or may not have been a struggle for the gun. Either way, the kid's dead. There was 12 shots. But in that case, he did do a robbery. He definitely brought it upon himself. That's a violent crime. Your adrenaline is pumping way more when you go after somebody for a robbery than when you stop somebody for cigarettes.
But let me ask you, like, it's a little different, though, because and a lot of people really agree with you. They're... I mean, I feel like in the case of Michael Brown, I mean, it's an unarmed kid. You pull out a gun, you start unloading your gun. I mean, I feel like that has to be looked into more. There is no video evidence. We don't know exactly what happened there. I feel like that's the thing that really should go to trial. You know, in the case of Eric Garner, we see on video what happened. We see him resisting arrest. We see the cops struggle to get him to the ground. This wasn't them trying to murder a man. This was them trying to arrest the guy that mm-hmm. wouldn't go down.
There's a message that's not getting out there, too. De Blasio talked about his son during the non-indictment and how that's what started this whole mess. Between the cops, but what about the resisting arrest? There's no, the kids in this country feel like, you know, that they can resist arrest now. Cops aren't trained to go backwards. They're never going to lose. You're always going to lose. So the more times you want to resist arrest, the more escalated the situation becomes, the more opportunity there is for more deaths.
Yeah, and by the way, it's only going to be so many times before you could be pushed on the ground before your head gets split open on the curb. And that's going to happen more and more and more the more you resist arrest.
The law is the law. When you only have one option. When the police officer tells you that you are under arrest, you only have one option. That's to comply. You have to follow whatever orders he is. He could say, turn it around, touch your nose, put one foot up, do the hokey pokey. You got to do it.
Yeah,
you're under arrest right now.
So in your opinion,
once you get a lawyer, then you can do whatever you want.
So in other words, to you, I guess the ability to police to enforce the law is so important that I guess if someone's resisting arrest, they should be allowed to use violence in that situation.
I think it's a violent act to resist arrest. So but I think you're meeting
your level of force.
You're saying an act of resistance can be
the problem is
violent.
The level of force that's being used. That's the problem. The level of force. That's the question here.
Right.
What is the level of being forced now? First, it becomes a physical situation, mm-hmm. okay? Now, if I don't have my baton, or if we're too close proximity to use mace and I can get it back in my face, the next, because the cops basically in New York City, they don't have a baton anymore. They used to have a nightstick, a wooden nightstick, then they took those away. And they gave you like a PR-24.
They're feeding too many people.
They gave us a PR-24, which is basically a martial arts instrument. It takes you several years to get proficient in, and they give you a 2-hour training course.
So they started beating the shit out of black kids with
it. Nobody knew how to use it. Nobody knew how to use it, so they would leave it in the car.
Is it that little fucking thing?
It's a stick, but it's got a handle on it with a knob. Nobody knew how to use it.
It's not that big,
though. It stayed in the car. So what's your level of force?
It's the one that the fucking the Red Ninja Turtle had, the size.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
Well, anyway, so so that's what happened. And then now your level of force goes from your hands to right to your gun.
And how, let me ask you, the average cop, I mean, they're not, like, anybody can become a cop. Like, Robbie Bernstein can become a cop.
That's right.
Right?
I'm quitting. That's it. I'm going to become a cop
he
right now.
He should become a cop.
This
is
my moment.
Saying, guys. This is actually an intervention. Robbie, you're not funny.
I agree. I'm going to go walk these streets and beat up black people.
You won't even
be
the funniest cop.
You're probably right. But I can be the fattest.
Dude.
Cops are funny.
The cops are pretty
funny.
Cops
busted my balls in that LOL.
We used
to hang out and cops, just rip each other all.
It's cops like are a, normal,
it's like
the
dude. 13th grade, yeah.
This is why people act like, dude, we are not in a fucking, like, look, I think Dave does go a little hard when he says we live in a police state and it's like the fucking Gestapo kicking.
Some people
down
are
your
wired
door.
Differently. I listened to Pharrell the other day and he said, Howard Stern asked him about critics. And he goes, listen, there's always going to be agitators. They're wired differently. And that changed my whole perspective on it. Some people, you can't change their opinion. I'm not saying Dave is one of them, but if you're really wired that hard, where you're really on the completely live in a Gestapo state, then okay, that you're not. There's not a clear vision. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the thing I always say is like, cops are normal dudes. I have friends that are cops. I've had friends who have been cops. I'm a handful of guys that I know that are just cool dudes that are fucking cops. This is the line of work they decided to go into. Dude, nobody really wants to get into a violent situation. You know what I'm saying? Now, I shouldn't say nobody, because there are some fucking cocksuckers out there. But in general, people want to kind of just go into work and collect their paycheck. I mean, how many cops are out there that you, and you obviously, you know, I don't want you to fucking have to, you know, I don't know the code or whatever. But I mean, do you see violence against civilians as being just a fucking daily thing that the cops are just doing? Because I think it's one out of
you're saying, do you want to know if there's cops that go in gung-ho, like they want to fight?
I'm saying, or how much of a problem is that, where you think there are violent cops that are walking around the streets going, hey dude, I'm ready to fucking crack some skulls today, you know, like that dude.
They listen, it's a big job. I'm sure there are guys like that. I was lucky enough that I wasn't really surrounded by a lot of them. I just know the way I policed, and I'm a different, you know, maybe I'm different, but I talk to everybody with respect. And I would tell, you know, somebody, listen, you got to go. And sometimes you tell people they got to go, you know, I'm going to have to arrest you, and they still don't want to go. So you try to talk it, you try to keep going. But if you got a crowd surrounding you, things escalate. But it's talking about the dicks that are out there and the ones who talk to people disrespectful. Yeah, there's always going to be. It's like any other job. When you work somewhere else, there's no reason for you to be rude, and they're rude. What are you going to do?
Let me do a little role play right now, all right? So Robbie Bernstein smoking a bowl on the street. Okay, I want to know how you would do it.
We're
smoking
simulated.
A bowl. Scopo's your partner, because that legitimately is going to be his future. I was kidding about Robbie. Robbie's funny. Robbie smoking a bowl on the street. You know, you're in the village. You see him. He's by himself. You're with your rookie partner, Chris Scopo.
Hey Jew.
when they catch me, am I allowed to panic and piss myself?
No, you got to do exactly what
but
you do.
Hold on. First of all, Robbie,
I want to know exactly
Robbie
what Mark
Bernstein
would do.
Is going to fucking say yes 100% of the times if a cop fucking says.
I want to know. I want to see how Mark would handle.
And he's going to be polite and respectful.
at what time during my 20 years are we talking about? When Dinkins was May, when I first came on,
six months in, smash his head into the table.
No, people, that's the
fuck
opposite.
Fuck you,
first
dirty
of
Jew.
All, when Dinkins was mayor, and this is the fear of what's going to happen in the city again, it's like if cops aren't really enforcing the little laws, like when Dinkins was mayor, you couldn't bring a pot smoker back to the precinct because the desk sergeant would have thrown you right out. Be like, get out of here, man. There's real crime outside. There's somebody getting robbed, burglarized right down the block. What are you bringing a pot smoke here? That's how much crime. We had over 2,400 homicides in New York City. That's six people a day. Think about it. Now there's less than 400.
So listen, pot smokers out there, and commit murders.
Let me ask you a question.
The more murders there are, the less you get arrested for smoking weed.
Where are all the people that say, who do you think survives? Those 1,600 lives that survived out of the 2,400 people in 1990 or 2,600 people that were murdered in this city, six a day. And now there's less than 400. Who do you think that is, that 2,200 people?
What do you mean?
It's people of color. That lives are saved by the way that the city was being policed. So how bad were we? Do you know what I'm saying? There's always going to be, casualties. What do you call it? Collateral damage.
Wow, that's the best.
People are
going to
get harassed. It's just part of it. Now, were we keeping the foot on the pedal? You know, this guy de Blasio had the chance to go in and pull a PC that was from the job, a police commissioner. Somebody like the Spanish guy, Pinheiro, the other guy, the black guy, Blank. He went and got Bratton. Why? Because as much as he's supposed to be on your side and be a leftist and be a liberal, he also didn't want crime to go up during his watch because he's got all the people that voted him in. They want to keep all...
Who's Bratton, by the way? Who's that?
He's the police commissioner.
I know, but like, who was he before?
He was the police. He's the guy who came in with the broken windows theory. The, you know, you arrest somebody for the little things, it takes care of the big things. Keep them continually in the system. That's what you do. You keep the bad guys continually in the system. But look, you think Brooklyn
theory?
Is going
to
go
seems
away?
Seems like a very expensive way to do things.
Wait, is that not the broken windows
theory? Yeah, absolutely.
Can you break it down for me? No one's like really broken
well, I just
it down.
Did.
So it's that you keep people in
the quality of life.
What about
crime?
The guys quality that aren't actually crime. Bad guys? This is the problem with that system. Like me, the guy who's been arrested fucking 8 times for smoking weed in my life, but I'm not a dude who's doing anything more than that. So I have
well,
to
that,
continue.
That is,
I, like,
that's,
I got kicked
that's
out of
the
fucking
problem.
Canada.
That's like Eric Garner in a way. I didn't really look at his rap sheet, but to me, he sounds that type of guy. The guy who's always in the street, always doing something stupid.
Yeah.
Now, the problem with Eric Garner is usually that guy becomes your snitch. Or, not. I don't want to say his. He was a snitch, but that type of person who's always out in the street, a past cop would learn how to use that guy. If he was always getting touched by the cops, that's going to be my guy. I'm going to say, listen, man, you want to make $50 a week, $200 a month? Be my confidential informant. You know what I'm saying?
I wish somebody would have
offered
whatever
the money is.
I wish
whatever
somebody
would have
offered me that fucking deal, dude. I would just sold out all my
college dealers. But the thing is, you have
dealers.
To be available.
Just white kids with dreads coming out of fucking dorms and cuffs.
If there's a situation, I got to be able to call you up, Lewis, and I got to be able, who did the shooting? And you're going to tell me who did the stabbing. That's how police
like,
work
dude,
is.
Dude, I my
But like,
but now all of a sudden you're locking that guy up all the time when that guy could have been your eyes and ears. So that's why police work. At some point, you know, with all this, you know, nailing people for the little things.
We know Eric Garner wasn't going to be your lungs or...
Why not? No, I'm serious. That was your guy in the street. All those people that are always getting arrested for doing stupid little things. Those are the people that, you know, they call you up when they do get arrested. They're selling bootleg videos or DVDs. Not Eric Garner, but somebody like that who's always in the street.
I want you to arrest... Rob Bernstein right now. You are 15
Little
years into your
old
career.
Me?
You are 5 years away from fucking retiring. Robbie Bernstein smoking weed in the street. Robbie.
Yeah, but you don't try to say like.
Yeah, but what I'm telling you is I wouldn't arrest him.
What would you do? I want to see what happens.
He said he'd never arrest him on a pop.
Shut the fuck up, Scopo. I want him to actually do it.
I would actually see if he had a warrant.
I want
first.
You to do it.
I'd be like, what are you doing? And he'd be like, duh.
No,
I'm
I want him to say
pot.
It. Go. Do it.
How red-handed was I just caught?
You're just smoking. The bowl's in
I'm
your hand.
I'm literally holding a bowl in my
go.
Hand. You walk up to me and you go, hey, buddy,
like,
what are you doing?
And go.
I said, what are you doing?
My dad's a lawyer.
Yes. That's true, too.
Go ahead. I said, what are you doing?
I'm just hanging out with some friends at this bar over here. I was just coming outside for a minute.
What are you doing right now?
I don't want to incriminate myself, so I'm not going to answer that question, but...
All right, let me see your ID.
Sure, no problem. Here it is.
Okay. I'm gonna run them for warrants right now.
All right, run for warrant.
Let's say, what do you want? He wants to come back. If he comes back with a warrant, he's getting locked up. If he's dumb enough to get caught smoking pot in the street, he's probably dumb enough to get caught again. So
in the meantime,
now I'm going to lock him up.
Let me ask you a question, though. All right, in the meantime, you're running his warrant. It's going to take, what, 5 minutes?
It could, yeah.
Five, 10 minutes? All right, yeah. So you're going to give him some small talk?
3 minutes.
What, are you going to intimidate him during this process? Now, at this point, because he gave you... As
I
a
would
cop,
say to him,
let
why...
Me, Mark, let me
I
ask
would
you.
Say...
Let me ask you this. As a cop, I would have been annoyed already that he said, I don't want to incriminate myself. I would have been like, all right, this guy's a fuck. He's
going
to be that
why?
Kid already.
Why? See, but you are already getting hooked.
I'm bad cop.
I know, but you're getting hooked. I don't care what he says, really.
I
saw him smoking pot.
I
if I want to take
ribs.
Him for the pot, I'm going to take him. I don't care what he says.
Mark, I want to hit him right in his fucking
All
right,
ribs so
right
go
now.
Ahead.
I'm being the other cop. They're smoking pot together right
that's
now.
Me, that's me, by the way. That's me.
They're smoking pot together. It's me and Mark. You're good cop. I'm bad cop, okay? All right. Seeing again. You're both smoking weed together. All right, Mark, go up. Boom.
What are you guys doing?
Oh, we're both in this?
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, you, whoa, buddy, get against the fucking wall. Get against the fucking wall, both of you. What the fuck is going on here? What are you guys doing right now?
I'm taking my cell phone out.
Put your fucking phone down. Put your fucking phone down.
This just became your collar, by the way.
Can he do this?
This just became your arrest.
Can he do this, Mark?
Yeah, why not?
I have a right to take my phone out. You're aggressive, sir.
Does he have Mark? I don't look. I'm new to this.
He can tape you. Obviously, that's all they keep talking about. Yes, he can.
I feel threatened by you right now, sir.
He's committing a crime.
Sir, I feel threatened by you right now. I'm recording you for evidence.
Okay,
so I know.
Good, you little cocksucker.
So I know what's going on.
I want you to fucking know that I fucked your mother.
What?
Are you doing that off camera, or are you saying you actually got to go?
No,
I want to finish this collar. Can we finish this collar?
This is your column.
So right away, Bobby, if you came at me, I'd be like,
Bobby, shut up. Don't point, say anything. But I have your fucking recorder out. Right
you
now.
Shut the fuck up. I sucked on your mom's pussy last night. Let her see that fucking camera.
Everything is being recorded.
Let her see that fucking tape.
Know this right now.
Piece of shit. You fucking faggot.
All right. That's a fucking gay slur.
Yeah, yeah.
I
hate blacks.
Can we get the two of you to actually fight right now?
And at this point right now, I would probably have to just because he's taping off, I would have to go, Officer Gomez, please don't say that. Just to get it on record that I was against what you were doing, I would cover my ass and be like, Officer Gomez, please don't use those words.
So you,
and then I would look at him and go, did you catch that?
Sir, yes. Thank you, Officer Sanchez. Thank you. I appreciate you. Officer Gomez, you're being hostile right now in the situation.
But you didn't really work. You were a detective when people had cell phones at that point. People didn't, when you were working like the street.
Yeah, they came out when I was on the, we had cell phones. When I was a detective.
Really
yeah, in
then.
The squad. Yeah, we had cell phones.
People were like, people pulled cameras out.
One time
out
I remember
you?
This guy was banging his head off in the cell. Like what they do sometimes is they're fucking idiots. They want, no, he's smashing his head off the wall because he wants to get a bruise there so he can say the cop did it.
Oh,
so he's
it.
In his cell and he starts smashing his head off the wall. So I just come and I started recording it. I remember that.
Right. But it wasn't, they weren't so prevalent that everybody was pulling out their
camera
phones.
No, but it became, not yet, but it was in the beginning of that. And I started taping him and I said, look, I got you on tape, you fucking idiot. And then he stopped. He stopped banging his head against the wall. I said, go ahead, bring that to court. I got you right here, you fucking idiot.
But it was so, I mean, you have to understand, like, police brutality back then kind of had to, like, be a little bit out of control. More so than now, because everyone has a camera phone now.
There was a stun gun caper, I remember, before I got on the job. Do you remember that?
No.
It was in the 106. Apparently, they got their hands on a stun gun and to get some confessions or whatever they wanted out of the kids, just to get, whoever they would stun them. And they were using it a lot, I'm
Weren't
sure.
Were there cameras there, though? Were the cameras there?
No. We're talking about like before I came on the job, 1990.
So there's no cameras. There's no cameras in like a
in 1989
an interrogation room.
In 89, there was no cameras anywhere.
In Terminator, there was cameras. In the first Terminator, weren't
but
they?
No,
video
there was
Terminator
security
was about
cameras,
the future. I hate
but
to
no, but it was taped in 84.
Scopo, he's saying in New York City there wasn't security cameras everywhere like there is now.
Yeah.
It wasn't cheap technology. Back in the 80s, a camera was like just the camera was
there wasn't as many
piece of
as
equipment.
It is now, and it wasn't in the precinct. There still isn't. Now all of a sudden there's cameras in the interrogation room, but they're being used for certain type of felonies. So most there are still some confessions or interviews that aren't being taped. As far as I know, since I left.
I know you got to go, but I wanted to just ask you one thing before you get out of here. Just give me a couple, because the Real S fans are all criminals. Okay, the Gromites, the ones that are listening right now, and we appreciate you because you're on both sides, man. I feel like you have some inside knowledge. Let's say one of our fans get caught smoking weed. Okay. Let me just give them some advice.
First of all, you got to know how to spot the undercovers. Most of you guys, especially the freaking comics, are all so stupid. You get arrested. And I tell you, man, if you ever see a black dude, a white dude, an Asian dude, and a lesbian driving around in like a minivan, they're undercover cops. Like, how do you not spot the undercovers?
I see them in the village sometimes.
Yeah, four people that would never be together. You ever look in a car and be like, what is this group of people? Duh, they're the undercovers. You know what I'm saying?
What can they do? You get to the point where me and you, fucking Detective Gomez, Detective Sanchez, we got these punks against the wall. What is the best chances of them walking away without going to bookings, going through the whole bullshit that night? Like, just walking away with the ticket. What is it that they
can
do?
You know what?
Apologize.
Honestly?
And you're nice.
Exactly. If they're and if it helps if you're white.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna
lie. It really does.
What,
right?
I would do on that situation, I would admit to it and like pull out my fucking uncle's PBA because like, listen, my uncle's lieutenant. Right. I fucked up and I would try to get out of it that way.
Officer, I'm
Bernstein's
sorry.
Bernstein's going.
Really?
Because we have to raise the quota of white people getting arrested, so he's an easy one.
I've gotten away
I need
with
my
it before.
Collar for the month. He's not going to give me a hard time.
Here's my
he's
ID.
Probably going to cry. He's
officer.
Definitely going. He's definitely going. He's going to thank me at the end of the night. This is an officer. I want to thank you. He's going to shake my hand for arresting him, and he's going to promise.
Happen?
Yeah, absolutely. You know how many times people are like,
lesson.
Dude, man, you were great, bro. Thanks, sir. I appreciate it. Yeah. And then you bump into them years later in the street and they come up to you.
They thank
and they're like,
you
yo, you remember me, man? You arrested me, man. Yo, you were great.
That's hilarious.
Fucking awesome, dude.
I got detained once stoned in the back of a cop car. All right, that was the closest.
So be nice, and that's it.
Yeah, I would definitely, especially now in this temperament right now, where everybody's on edge. If the cops are talking to you, I would say, you know, keep your hands so they can see them.
Just say, hey.
Answer the questions. If you don't want to answer the questions, just say, I don't want to answer the questions, but you have to identify yourself.
If you say,
here's a misconception. If you don't identify yourself, then I have to bring you back to the station house, and that's when you're going to be arrested. Here's another thing that annoys me. The people that get pulled over by the cops, and now all of a sudden they're videotaping, and they ask the cop, am I being detained? I don't understand why the cops doesn't go, yes, you're being detained. I just pulled you over. You are not free to leave. I'm Officer So-and-so. I just identified myself. I need to see your identification now so I know who I'm talking to. Am I being detained? Yes, you're being detained. How many ways do I, you are not free to leave. Am I arrested? Yes, you are arrested. What does arrested mean? Arrested means that you're not free to leave. If I say to you, everything works out, you got no warrants, nothing, I'm going to cut you a break on this summons, which now I'm not because you were a dick. You're going to get the summons why I pulled you over.
That's what I'm saying. You don't want to do the questions thing. A lot of cops don't know their right.
When people go, am I being detained? Yes, you're being detained. You're not allowed to leave.
Well,
it's misinformation on both sides.
The cops don't know it and the people don't know it. But if you pull the whole, like, hey, I don't want to answer any questions.
You don't have to answer
any questions. But you're probably.
You don't have to answer any questions. Just give me your ID.
Is that going to make it so you're probably going into bookings that night?
No, not at all. You don't have to. If you say, I don't want to answer your questions, I'd be like, good, I don't have any questions for you. Just give me your ID. Now, if you don't have any ID, sorry, pal, I got to bring you back to the station house to identify
who you
are.
Do you get what I'm saying, though?
I totally understand, but what I'm trying to explain to you,
would that
it doesn't bug me.
Cop?
Well, especially now since I'm not working and I don't have the fifth car stop on me already. I don't have my boss on top of my back, this, that, and the other. I don't have any pressures. I pull him over. He says, I don't have to answer questions. I'd be like, fine, you don't have to. I don't want to ask you any questions. I'm going to give you a summons for your busted taillight. Let me see your ID. Now what is he going to say? Am I being detained? Yes, you're being detained. Are you saying I'm arrested? Yes, I'm saying you're arrested.
You're not really answering my question, Mark.
I'm just giving you the facts.
I'm just trying to get
it. It doesn't matter what he says.
My fans are drug addicts. Uh-huh. I'm trying to get them the advice to get out of being arrested.
I'm saying to be as nice as possible. I'm sorry, officer. What did I, you know, do?
But in the case that the person says, hey, I'm not answering any of your questions. Isn't that kind of a dick move?
It is a dick move.
Isn't the cop going to at that point go, hey, I'm going to probably bring this guy in?
Yeah, there's no option right now. I could have let you go.
Yeah.
But now I'm not going to.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Exactly.
Right. Say, don't be a dick to the cops.
Right. Answer the questions. I love you too, man. Mark, thank you so much for coming in today.
Bernstein split.
He had to go take a piss. He got really nervous that you tried to arrest him.
Yeah.
All right, later.
I like being a bad cop. I want to do that now.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Mark.
Gomanites.
Yeah, go check out Gomanites. Go check out Mark on Twitter, Mark DeMeo.
Mention 20 and out,
please. Please go check out his one-man show, 20 and out, as well. Well, what's the website, Mark?
MarkDeMeo.com.
Look for tickets for 20 and out, which is basically Mark. It's his one-man show talking about his times as a New York City detective and retiring and his time afterwards.
Bye, buddy.
Scopo, I want to be a cop, dude. That was so much.
Terrible cop, dude. Are you in mind?
You didn't think I was a good cop?
No. You would have got fired a month into the job.
I think that was actually really good.
No. You called me faggot. That's a gay slur.
But that was like... I have my buddy James that I grew up with.
I'm recording it. That was horrible.
My buddy James that I grew up with, when he went to the senior prom, he came down to the city and they were like drinking and smoking weed in the street.
White or black?
White.
Okay.
White kid. And they were like drinking and smoking weed in the street and he got caught and then he started mouthing off to the cop. Mm-hmm. This is like 98 maybe. He was a couple years older than me. And the cop drilled him in the head, just fucking punched him right in the side of the head. I was like, shut the fuck up. Just like that. Like, just laid him out. Literally left him with his weed and his alcohol still. Didn't even fucking care. Just basically abused this kid because he was a punk-ass kid.
Little white kid?
Yeah.
Stop being a little fucking punk. I'll smack you around.
But in a weird way,
that was good for him.
It was good for him.
It was good for him.
Is it that crazy that kid,
it was good for him.
This kid, James, ended up not being really a good kid. He was arrested a bunch of times afterwards, which, by the way, if you live
Maybe it wasn't good for him, then.
If you live in certain states, you can, if you've been arrested, you're like your criminal record is like public, like in Florida. Like, this kid moved to Florida, and he's been arrested like 30 times. So I Googled
for
him
what?
One day. Just like cocaine, beating up his girlfriend, all this other shit.
Oh, then he's a shit person.
He's a real shit person, yeah. And it's kind of funny, though, but you can, like, see that. So don't move to Florida if you're a criminal, because your entire arrest record is public
knowledge. There's a lot of those guys in Florida, though. That's why they're
Bobby,
Florida.
You've never been arrested?
No.
I was never arrested in this country.
Bunch of close calls, but never arrested.
I was arrested, and I was detained more in Italy.
So you were never arrested either?
Well, yeah, I had handcuffs on me in the back of a cop car in Italy.
For doing what?
Fighting.
Nice.
Fucking some Italian.
We fucked up some Italians up, yeah.
Yeah, you beat them up?
It was like 8 to 10 on 3. We didn't win the fight, but we didn't lose it either. They were just that much bitches. Like, I would punch them, and then they just didn't punch back.
Oh, so you guys were bullying some young Italian
boys. Oh, yeah,
boys.
We fucking bullied it.
Well, it was all right. It was 4 girls and 4 guys.
No, it was like 10 dudes.
Yeah, so you and two of your
and then the cops,
two of your fucking baseball buddies just annihilated an entire Italian village.
No, we didn't. I said we didn't win, but we didn't lose.
We didn't win. It was a fucking tie, bro.
It was like a tie, dude. They're
bro,
just fucking
ask them.
Pussies.
Ask them. That's what I'm saying, bro. Ask them.
Fucking tie bastards, you know.
Fucking stink. Fucking we're gonna give it a few more minutes before we get out of here. Me and Bobby Bernstein, we worked out before we came here today.
That's right.
I'm gonna work out tonight.
Robbie, how great was my workout that I gave you?
Dude, I'm still just out of it from it.
Was it great?
Might be the beer and pot too, post-workout, but yeah, it was great.
We got to toughen Bernstein up. Like, he's
By the way, first of all, Bobby Bernstein's under the radar, very strong, okay?
You don't really?
I mean, he's not, like, pushing around a ton of weight, but he's got great muscular endurance. He didn't bitch out on the workout. He really kept going the whole time. Much more so than I can say for you, Scopo.
No, please.
I'm more of a man than Scopo.
Very true.
I mean, probably.
And my listen to me. I'm on a 38-day real ass challenge. If you guys want to do it with me, guys, you got to do the real ass diet plus some form of exercise 4 to 5 days a week. I'm going to fucking post pictures, before and after pictures. I'm going to be so shredded. I'm only on day, like, let me see. It was Christmas. Was the last day I cheated. What's today? The 3rd? I don't know. I'm on like day 7 or whatever today is.
I'm fucking killing it.
Bobby.
I'm fucking killing
Bobby,
it.
Bobby, let him know.
His abs are ridiculous. I was touching them in the shower.
Yeah,
I was really getting them between
really
the molds, just trying to figure
out the whole thing.
It's really incredible.
You just said you were touching Louis's abs in the shower.
Well, yeah. I mean, they were there. I had to touch them.
Do you shower together?
Yeah. Who doesn't do that after the gym?
Was DeMayo on coke just now?
I don't think so.
He wasn't listening.
I think he just, you know what it is? He was so like... To the point with the argument. He's done this so many times.
I just didn't want to hear any of the sides. I'm asking a very specific question.
I thought I wasn't following the conversation.
And he wasn't listening. I'm like, no, Mark, just answer my fucking question, you psycho.
Is that how you get them to leave early so you can rip them?
He was doing the very cop thing, though.
Well, I felt like he was like,
he was being smart, dude. He was being fucking smart.
I don't want to fucking choke Mark them out. I'm like, just answer the fucking question. The Realist fans got to know.
I got to say, I would like to know that one also, because I had, I've been telling that story about when I got pulled over and I was looking at porn while driving. So part of it, the cop actually asked me, like, were you holding your phone? And then I didn't want to answer it, because once you say, like, I just don't know how that works if you kind of, because once you say yes, then you've incriminated yourself.
Well,
then
that's
it's like
my
kinda,
point.
Yeah, it's a tough
Mark,
thing.
I wanted to have Mark on to figure out what to do in this situation, step by step. That was the whole idea of having him on the show, was to go step by step. It's like, what you do in that situation.
What'd you do?
We kind of missed
you
that
say yes or no?
No, I got the ticket. I think I said, I don't remember. I think I said I'm not going to answer that or something.
That's a dicky thing, probably.
Yeah, no. It was.
Where was it?
This was in Connecticut.
Oh, they're all dicks up there. You can't get out
of
shit.
No, I got to notice, I've gotten out of a lot of tickets in my life, usually just from being really, just like kind of nice and respectful. This was the first time that I wasn't, and it was partially because the kid was my age, so it wasn't as easy to just kind of be nice to the guy. But yeah, I would have liked to have known what to have done in that situation.
I'd just be extra nice.
No, I usually do, but the guy asked me because it seemed like he wasn't clear about whether or not I was on my phone. So he's like, well, you were on your phone, right? And so
they've never, no matter how nice I've ever been, no matter how much, I've never been a dick. I've always been like super respectful, super apologetic. They've never just fucking let me go. One time.
Right.
One time they let me go.
Really? It's so much
better.
They
didn't even let me go. They gave me a ticket. They brought me to the station, locked me up for 2 hours, and then let me go.
It's so much better
being
white, man.
It really is.
They just let me go. I'm not going to lie.
This is not a good story, but I had Percocet and Adderall in my pocket, neither of which were prescribed. I was on Percocet. I'd had a couple of drinks, and I was stoned.
Yeah, but you...
Listen to this.
You have one of each?
Yeah, but
that's fucking nothing. You could get out of that in 2 seconds.
No, I get that. I'm driving in a car, though. And I'm far from sober. This is, it's like.
Oh, you're driving in a car?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
12 p.m. on a Sunday. I run, I'm not wearing a seatbelt. I run a stop sign and I'm on my cell phone. I'm literally breaking every law you could possibly break, right?
Oh, yeah. You got to fucking
so
get out of that.
So I pull over, I quickly buckle my seatbelt and I just go, oh, I'm getting arrested. Like, there's no way I'm getting out of this. Cop pulls me over. He goes, do you know why I pulled you over? I go, no, officer. He goes, you ran the stop sign back there. We've been getting a bunch of complaints from the neighbors about running that stop sign. I'm sorry I had to pull you over. I'd really appreciate it if you started stopping there. No problem, officer. And then I was on my way. That was it.
You got fucking lucky on that,
that
one.
That was, I literally, I sat there. I was like, okay, I'm going to jail right now. And then that was the closest.
Yeah, that situation.
I've ever had, yeah.
I'm denying until I die. That situation. I'm not getting good going to jail.
Yeah, dude. Look, it's fucking scary, dude. Like that's the thing. Like, I don't hate the cops.
Drive sober,
I definitely do get a feeling of uneasiness when I'm walking around, just in general, even if I don't have pot on me or if I haven't done anything wrong, I definitely get a feeling of uneasiness when I'm like when the cops get on the subway, right? When you're on the subway mm-hmm. and the cops walk on to check the car, like I have a feeling like, dude, they could just like, I could look like the guy. Here's what could happen, dude, very easily. I could look like the guy they're looking for. They could pull me off the train. They could say, hey, dude, we're going to fuck up here. I could be on my way to the Comedy Cellar, which I just got in, and I would fucking, like, if I just didn't show up one night, because the cops got on one day, and just, a Puerto Rican guy in a black hat, that's what they're looking for, a guy that just fucking robbed some chick on a platform. They pull me off the train, they detain me, they bring me to a station house for 2 hours, make sure I don't have, like, that could ruin everything, dude. It could ruin my fucking life. And that's a scary thing, and I think that's the problem with the relationship between the police and the civilians, is that the inherent thing. It's not like, oh my God, these people are here to help me. It's these people are here to put me in check.
Yeah, but dude, let me tell
you. And as I get older, it's less.
I think if that situation happened and you were just nice to the cops and you explained, listen, that wasn't me. Listen, I have a son. You could detain me for a little bit. But nothing would happen. They would let you go.
That's not true. If
they wouldn't bust you for the weed.
You're an idiot, dude.
If they
said, listen, I didn't have weed. I'm saying if they are looking for a guy that has my description, they could just pull me off the train and that.
They can do the same thing for me, though. It's not like they can do it for anybody.
I know, but that's what I'm... It's not about me. It's about anybody. I think that's my only problem with the cops. It's not... I don't think the cops are bad, and I do... Yeah, I do think they are part of a broken system. I don't know if I told this on this show, but I'll kind of end with this thought because we do have to wrap up. But on Tap Out Radio, one of my co-hosts was a cop. He actually owns the company Tap Out. These motherfuckers are multi-millionaires. But he's a cool dude, punk ass. He's fucking super cool, but he used to be a cop, and he said this when he quit. He pulled a guy over one day, and the guy was driving with a suspended license. And in California, it's mandatory they have to impound your car.
That's everywhere, I think.
And they have to take you in. No. I
know people who spend a license here, they got arrested.
They don't have to, though. Like, if you're with somebody in the car that has a license.
Oh, my buddy got arrested. He was
I think they have to mandatory arrest you, but they have to mandatory impound your car. It's a whole thing. Different states have different laws. Either way, in California, they have to arrest this guy. They have to impound his car. So he was like, this is just a dude. He was like a family guy. He was like, it is what it is. He just didn't have a lot of money. It wasn't a great car. But he just saw this guy breaking down. He was like, dude, like, I got to get to work. I'm going to like lose my job. I'm sorry. He was like, my job now. He was like, I have to arrest this guy. He was like, this was not a bad guy. This is not a criminal. This is like a dude. He was poor, but he was like, you know, he just fucked up. He didn't pay his whatever parking ticket he had. He just fucked up.
Yeah. That sucks.
You know what I'm saying? So now you put him into a system where he's losing his job. You may turn him into a criminal now. You may have to do something illegal or immoral in order to get money, in order to feed his family. And you are a part of a system that is just inherently broken. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of the whole concept of the war on drugs and the problem with that. And you create these criminals and you create these black markets. And you, like, I'm not a criminal because I'm smoking pot right now. Am I a criminal? Like, you know what I'm saying? By the law, yes, I should be in a fucking cell. I should be in a cage right now because I'm...
Oh, you definitely should be in a cage. You really should be.
I should be, but that's only because I'm awesome and I should be caged because I'm a caged animal.
Well, yeah.
But in reality, the law says because I'm smoking this plant right now, I'm hurting nobody in the world,
mm-hmm.
okay? I should be in a cage. And if Mark was a cop right now and walked in here, if this was 5 years ago and he was a cop and walked in here, he would be breaking the law if he didn't arrest me.
First of all, dude, I have like two PBA cards. I would have ripped those out really quick.
I thought you were going to say two Adderalls. I was going to be like, sure.
I have one Adderall.
Shit.
There's a lot of money to be made in the prison system. There's a lot of private interest. Oh, we're cutting out.
Yeah,
we're
you can talk over it.
Say it.
Oh, it's sexy with the music there. So, yeah, there's a lot of money, and there's a lot of lobbying that goes into, I guess, having the police enforce these laws and getting people into jails and all those things. And so the cops themselves are only doing their jobs, but that's the problem when we put people in power over us who are able to enforce laws, is that private money then comes in and it lobbies to, for instance, keep pot illegal so that me and you have to go to jail. Later, people.
That was amazing, Robbie. Thank you guys for
Robbie
listening.
Bursting.
Next week, be back, Realize Podcast. Follow us on Twitter, iTunes, all that shit. Peace.
That's all, folks.